Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The principle of fairness is one of the principles, one of the standards that we use in our everyday lives and our interactions with the people around us. We want to be treated fairly by others, and so we do our best to treat each other, to treat other people in a fair and even-handed way as best we can. When we work, we expect to be paid for the work that we do, to be paid a fair wage. And so we often criticize those who seem to be just gaming the system, who seem to be just collecting benefits that they really don't need or that they really aren't legally entitled to, but they lie or cheat in order to get those things. We expect to advance in our jobs, to get promotion or pay raises as we gain experience and skill and as we have more time on the job and seniority. And so we don't look very kindly on the boss's nephew who gets promoted ahead of us because he knows someone of influence within the company. Since we live with those standards of fairness in our everyday life, it's no wonder then that we often try to apply those same ideas about fairness when it comes to our expectation of what we expect from God and the way God deals with us and with other people. You may have heard the saying, God helps those who help themselves. Sounds reasonable, but it's not from the Bible. It's easy for us, though, to regard success and money as a reward that God gives to those who work hard, helping those who have helped themselves. When it comes to applying this principle of fairness, these ideas that we have about fairness, applying that to God, well, we expect Him to prosper the good, to bless and help and give success and wealth to those who are good and who follow God's will. And we expect Him to punish and bring disaster on those who do evil, who blatantly ignore His will. But the only problem with our ideas about fairness is that they don't really apply at all to the ways of God. God doesn't behave the way that we expect Him to behave, the way that we might want Him to behave. He doesn't treat people according to our standards of fairness. For example, those who deserve nothing from God by human standards. Think about in the Bible at the time of Jesus, the tax collectors who were often dishonest and cheating people of money, the prostitutes, they get from Jesus an invitation to repent, to believe, and receive all kinds of blessing, including eternal life and salvation from God. And those who by human standards should have cushions on thrones in majesty and glory, the righteous, the law-abiding Pharisees. Jesus says that they are rejected from the kingdom of God because they turned their back on the Savior whom God had sent and on His message of repentance and faith in Jesus for salvation. Jesus says that the sun shines and the rain falls equally on the fields of both believers and unbelievers. And although there are some Christian preachers who say that God will bless Christians who believe in Him and follow His will with health and success and prosperity and happier lives, it simply isn't true as we look and compare the lives of believers and unbelievers. So the gospel writer Matthew brings our attention to a parable that Jesus told about grumbling at God's generosity. Now the point of the story that Jesus tells is that God equally gives His goodness and love and blessing to all people. That God's kingdom is open to all who believe in His Son Jesus as their Savior. God's loving kindness is given in equal measure to all, regardless of how long or how well each Christian has worked for God. Both the educated and the illiterate, both the rich and the poor, the wise and the foolish, people of all ages, each one is equally loved by God. Each one is invited to inherit eternal life with God in heaven. Our idea of fairness is based on the work ethic that says you get what you deserve. But God works on a different principle, the principle of grace, which says you get what you do not deserve. You receive a gift for which you have not worked. That gift from God has not been earned or merited by you in any way. A gift is eternity with God in heaven, and the peace right now that comes from knowing that you are a forgiven child of your Heavenly Father through faith in Jesus, your Savior. The parable that Jesus told of those workers in the vineyard really struck home for the people who first heard it. As Jesus often told in parables, he used objects or scenarios, situations that were familiar to the people of that time. So the grape harvest came quickly in September, in the fall. When the grapes were ripe, they needed to be harvested right away as soon as possible, or else they would be lost and would be spoiled. And so at the time that the grapes were ripe and ready for harvest, anyone who could work, worked, even if it was only for a short time, for an hour or two. And so as we see Jesus telling in the parable, the owner of the vineyard went out into the town square multiple times throughout the day to hire more workers to come into the vineyard to help with the harvest. So he went out at the beginning of the day, 9 o'clock, at noon, at 3 o'clock, and again at 5 o'clock. As we look at this parable, and perhaps you remember from reading in the Bible, the subheadings that are given in the Bible, not part of the original Bible, but that have been added later by Bible translators and editors to help us keep track of the subjects and the contents as we're reading. The title that's often given to this parable is the parable of the workers in the vineyard. But as with some other parables, that might not be the most appropriate or the most fitting title for this parable, because it's not really so much about the workers in the vineyard, really the story about a generous employer. As we saw, when all the workers were paid at the end of the workday, each one of the workers received the same amount of pay, regardless of the number of hours that they had spent working in the vineyard. So we saw that those who had worked for just 1 hour and who had worked in the late afternoon in the relative coolness of the day when the sun was not at its peak, they received just as much pay as those who had broke their backs all day long, working for 12 hours, including under the blazing sun in the hottest part of the day. Unfair? Well, you would certainly think so if you're looking at it from that perspective of those who had worked for the full 12 hours. But as we look again at the parable and at that closing section, we see that the landowner, the owner of the vineyard, didn't do anything wrong. He didn't treat any of the workers unfairly. He paid those full-time workers what they had agreed upon at the beginning of the day was a fair wage, a denarius, a day's wage on average at that time. And as he said, wasn't the money his to use as he wished? We see that the reason for the protest wasn't that the owner was unfair, it was that he was generous with his money. And as Jesus told it, the owner in the parable put his finger on that problem. He says, "Are you envious because I am generous?" So we see that the problem wasn't unfair wages, but it was the envy and the greed of those who had worked longer hours and felt that they deserve more. Think about yourself. We are familiar with jealousy and envy. Someone receives a generous gift, totally unmerited, something that they didn't earn, it was just freely given to them, or something that they won in a drawing, perhaps. The Bible tells us to rejoice with those who rejoice. But our sinful nature tempts us to belittle their good fortune, and to be jealous or envious of them, instead of being happy for them. So now we see why Jesus asks in the parable, in the voice of the landowner, "Are you envious because I am generous?" Because of our sinful human nature, we are so often jealous and envious, just like the prophet Jonah was in the first lesson that we heard this morning. Jonah, who wanted to see God's justice and judgment rain down from heaven in blazing fire upon the Ninevites, he was upset when, instead of doing that, God forgave him. Only as we live with the God of grace are we able to rejoice truly, to truly be happy for others when we see blessings come to them and to ourselves as well. When we're aware of our own unworthiness to receive any of the many gifts and blessings that God has given to us, then our hearts are truly flooded with gratitude for those undeserved blessings from God. And so whether it's our family or friends, or our congregation or our home, health or work, rest or play, all of the many blessings that God gives to us in our lives, we realize that we are on the receiving end of God's love. We are getting what we have not deserved, what we have not earned. Truly free, unmerited blessings from God. And as we read God's word, we become aware that all of life is really a gift that is freely given to us by our loving Heavenly Father. When we realize that, then in our daily lives, we're frankly just too busy counting our blessings and giving thanks to God for them, too busy to look over the fence at what our neighbor has been given, and to be jealous of him and his blessings. So no matter how much or how little we might have by the standards of the world around us, as Christians, we know that we are blessed, that we are honored, that we are loved by God beyond anything that we could ever dream of, beyond anything that we could ever deserve. For us, Jesus became a true human being so that he could take our place, so that he could suffer the punishment that we deserve for our sins and die on the cross. Through his generosity, we are saved from our sins, and we are now on the road to eternal life with God in heaven through faith in Jesus as our Savior. Jesus rose from the dead to give eternal life to us and to all other believers. We didn't deserve that. We didn't earn it. We didn't merit it. We couldn't have begged or stolen it. Eternal life is ours as a gift by God's grace alone, through faith in Jesus alone. Jesus has assured us and has assured all other believers that no matter what our earthly lot may be, he is with us, and he will bless us. In sickness or in health, his sacrament of the Lord's Supper strengthens us and draws us ever closer to him in faith. Whether in good times or in bad times, God's word is a source of constant comfort and encouragement and strength for us in our lives. Although in the eyes of society around us, we might seem to be weak or useless, through baptism, we know that we are God's dearly loved children, that we are extremely valuable and precious to him. God assures us that we are part of a royal priesthood, that we are a member of a holy nation that Jesus has brought into being through his death and resurrection. True that God doesn't treat people according to our standards of what is fair or what is not fair. Thank God that he doesn't do that. The goodness of God is far above and beyond any system of fairness that we might think up for parceling out his generosity and his blessing. His loving kindness is offered freely to everyone. Why would we grumble at God's generosity? Instead, let's accept it with thanksgiving and rejoice when he gives it to others as well.